In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're going to have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising Podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
Well, we are getting to answer an awesome question from a listener here. It is all about, basically the question was, how do I convince patients to come to a cash-based practice when they would rather use insurance? And this is a juicy one. We're going to dive into this because this is the fundamental question of a cash-based practice. A couple of announcements for you guys before we get there. Just wanted to remind you that we are doing that free webinar on the 6 ways that you are losing patients. That is totally free. That is on Tuesday, May 10th at 5:30 p.m. So make sure to register for that. We'll have a link in the bio, but that is coming up. We also have some cool stuff for those of you guys who do have a cash practice or want to have a cash practice on our Pelvic PT Rising Business Mentorship side. So stay tuned for that in this month of May as well.
Yes. Okay. So we have to do a little disclaimer at the beginning of this episode because
do we have to? We're not really disclaimer people.
I am going to put a disclaimer on here.
All right.
We aren't disclaimer people usually, but in going through this question, you know, we're really big on like, hey, make sure you know who you're listening to, who you're getting advice from, right? For those of you who are newer to the podcast, newer to Jesse and I, remember that we have a cash-based physical therapy, pelvic physical therapy practice in Orange County, California called Pelvic Sanity, okay? So we have made this jump from being frustrated, me, Nicole, being frustrated by the constraints that were put on to me by insurance companies in providing my patients with the care that I thought that they deserved. Answering this question is going to basically pit insurance-based pelvic PT practices against essentially cash PT practices. And we're going to basically be going through a lot of the reasons why, the arguments for cash practice. This does not mean that we think that you are a complete moron if you are in an insurance-based practice. Please do not take that away. What we are saying in this podcast is answering that question. If you've made the decision to, or you think you want to make the decision to jump into your own business, and you're usually doing that because you're feeling the constraints in some insurance-based world, then what are the arguments for that? Okay. So we're just going to say that. So, but this could make you a little uncomfortable if you are working an insurance-based practice. And guess what? That's okay. We want you to keep listening. I would actually ask you, if you are working in an insurance-based pelvic physical therapy model, do you feel any of these things? Because we do have some podcasts, if you scroll back, on how to, we just did one on how to make your job work for you. There are tricks to the trade if you are working in an insurance-based environment where that is not going to change, right? Reimbursement rates are not going to change. If they are, they're going to go down. And so there might be things that you need to work within the system, right? And so what are things that you can do to make that work? That's not this podcast. This podcast is going to be the one that basically gives the answer to that question. How do we convince somebody to come to cash-based physical therapy when they can go to an insurance-based practice?
Yes, and not minimizing the value of those of you who are still in insurance practice. We need that. We also need people who are in cash practice. Like, patients benefit from that variety of things as well. So the more options that patients have, I think the better for patients and the better for our field. So This is answering that very specific question, how to convince patients to come to a cash-based practice when they would rather use insurance. And Nicole, this is a great question because it gets to the heart of running a cash-based practice. And again, you guys know who you're talking to. Like, we run a cash practice. We help other people run cash practices. Like, this is our jam. But if we knew how to answer this question, I feel like everybody would want to be in a cash practice, right? You get to treat patients for as long as you want. You don't have to worry about insurance shenanigans. You don't have to write progress notes. Your documentation takes 2.5 minutes per patient. All of those benefits of a cash practice. But the trade-off is that you do have to, and we're going to talk about the word convince, but we do have to convince patients to come to cash-based practice instead of using their insurance, which is the challenge. And so you get all of the benefits of being in a cash practice and being able to practice the way you want and being able to do wellness and being able to do preventative care, being able to do two-hour sessions, being able to do out-of-town programs, all of that stuff. But your trade-off is this big one. How do I market and convert patients who are expecting to use their insurance, who are expecting care to essentially be free? And as we go through there, I want to address the convince wording. I'm not a huge fan of this. I think Shante Cofield has a great line about, you know, I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to just basically give you information,
give
but
you
don't
options.
Love the word convince. But we do want to give people a very clear idea of what their options are. And that's the way that I think of it when I'm answering the phone, and I've done that at Pelvic Sanity. I have probably talked to about 6,000 patients over the last 5 to 6 years.
And that is not an exaggeration, you
no.
guys. So we have a high volume cash, multi-clinician cash-based physical therapy practice. High volume. We're talking 600 plus patient visits per month when we're cranking. And Jesse has answered the phone and been the front desk person for the majority when we were starting out, and even now still will hop on the phone and talk to people.
I literally just got off the phone with somebody doing this, quote unquote, convincing them to come to a Pelvic Sanity instead of insurance, even though that was their first question, right? Insurance thing is really important to me. Cool. Like, let's talk about that. So the problem that we have is that patients think that all physical therapy is the same.
That really is something that is ubiquitous across our entire field. It's also a huge problem or a challenge in the pelvic healthcare field. People will hear, I need to go to pelvic PT. Either I saw it on Instagram or my doctor said I need to go. And they immediately just be like, oh, okay. Like, it doesn't even click for them that it is more similar to choosing a hairdresser than it is choosing a medical provider. It really is individualized. It matters who you go to. We know that, but patients don't know that. And that's the biggest thing.
Which is an interesting thing. Just, I wonder where this comes from if we really track this back down. But people don't think this way of the medical profession at all. Like, oh, I just need to go to a gynecologist. I just need to go to a GP. And we're not doing research. We're not vetting. A lot of times we're not even looking at reviews. It's just like, who's close to me and who's contracted with my insurance company?
Yeah, which is really, God, that is really interesting. I would love
right?
to dive into like that because I think that's a huge just American mentality. It's probably also, if you have a healthcare system where, like in Canada or the UK, that's universal, then that
maybe
is just what,
you're,
maybe
so.
Even
yeah.
more so, which is interesting. But even here, even in like a truly for-profit, I mean, most insurance, all insurance companies are for-profit. The medical systems, hospitals are for-profit. Even the not for-profit hospitals, right? Just because you're a nonprofit doesn't mean you don't make money, by the way, newsflash. So, I mean, we are in a for-profit medical environment. Even with that, we do not treat it the same as, oh, hey, I want to go get a burger. We're looking on Yelp and all kinds of stuff. What's the parking like? What's the prices? What do people say about it? All of that stuff, that is not how the American consumer finds medical care.
Right, which is, I mean, I love the hairdresser example, like hairdresser mechanic, we spend more time vetting those people than we do the people who are going to be doing an internal pelvic floor exam.
Right. I think, and you know, it's also interesting too, where it's like those people, like, where do you go first for that? You ask around. And I feel like in pelvic PT, sometimes you really don't because of the, no one's like going up to their best friend, calling them up and being like, hey, do you know, what pelvic PT do you go to? Maybe that's aspirational for our field, but I think that there's an inherent lack of understanding that that there is differences in medical care. And I think that there is starting to become that consumer awareness more and more so through social media, actually. It's one of the benefits of it, where people, number one, we can say that to patients directly through those avenues, and patients can follow different types of practitioners and see where we differ. That's kind of cool about our pelvic PT practice, is that, and part of being a business owner is being able to articulate what makes you different.
Yes. And we're going to get to that. That is the biggest point of what we're trying to say here. So we're talking about, how do I convince someone to come into a cash-based practice? And I would say, how do we give someone the option to make an informed decision on whether to come to a cash-based practice when they would rather use insurance? How do I convince someone to buy a Mercedes instead of a Kia, Nicole?
I mean, there needs to be some sort of perceived value, right? You have to be, number one, educated in that there are two different types of cars. And then you have to be essentially willing, and sometimes able, but definitely willing to go to and get a Mercedes.
Yep. And how do I convince someone to go to Nordstrom's and not TJ Maxx?
I mean, same thing, right? You have to, each one has, there's a value attached to that in terms of what you're trying to, what the outcome is, right?
So people are willing to pay more for something they perceive as more valuable in our society, in general, everywhere. The problem is that as of right now, they don't see your practice as more valuable than the one down the street. So you're basically asking somebody, would you rather get physical therapy that you have to pay for, or the same physical therapy that you don't have to pay for? And patients are really good at also at forgetting the fact that they have deductibles and copays and everything else when they go in network. But that's a whole other
That's not even forgetting. That's just like not understanding too. But like, yeah, that's like a whole nother.
But that's the perception is that they're going to go get free care. If in network basically equals free in a lot of people's minds, especially if they're not very sophisticated in or haven't been through a lot of medical shit. And so that's what we're basically asking them. If you just are calling and they're like, hey, do you take my insurance? And you're saying no, they're basically hearing, well, why would I go there? But we know that if people do understand that there is a difference in value between where they go, people are, at least some people are, willing to pay more for that. They're willing to get the Mercedes. They're willing to go to Nordstrom's. Nordstrom's is still in business, right? Even though you can go to someplace else and get a t-shirt for a lot less expensive. So there's really two things that we need to be doing. We need to be providing better care, and then we need to be communicating that we're providing better care. And you can't do number two without doing number one. And this is why I think it's so important. We have always in our business mentorship linked clinical and business. You can't separate those two things, right? If you're providing better care, you can communicate that you're providing better care. But if you're not providing better care and you communicate that you are, then you're just a shyster.
Yeah, then we have a problem.
Right? That's where it's like, you don't have imposter syndrome. You have like jackass syndrome. Like, don't do that.
Don't bamboozle people.
Right? But if you are providing better care, or even in this case, different care, can you explain how the care that they are going to get with you is better or different or more focused or more important to them than the care they're getting at the in-network place down the road?
Well, and I think, Jesse, that's a good point, right? Because it's a great point that you bring up. It's, I think some pelvic PTs, PTs in general, people in general, get uncomfortable with saying, I do this better than other places, right? There's like a, I know,
Jesse. Do they? That seems weird.
Yes, it seems weird to him because sometimes his head is too big to fit through a freaking door, right? So, but in the world of perfectionism and in this imposter syndrome kind of world and in a new business world where you are also like a little uncomfortable about, is this even going to work? You're already feeling a little bit not confident. You might think you're a great clinician, but you might have a hard time actually saying, I am the best badass clinician and I'm better than people that I just worked with. Or I'm better than, because a lot of times you're moving, you're opening a practice kind of near, at least somewhere that you are familiar with. Yeah, you better be able to say, I'm better than that because. Now, I think too, it's helpful to sort of distinguish that. If that makes you feel really uncomfortable, we need to work on that. But to say not how are you better, but how is the patient experience? How is the patient going to experience a better thing coming to your clinic? What sets you apart? And this is like fundamental to being able to answer this question, is providing that and thinking about that when you are setting up your cash practice, so that you can articulate setting yourself apart. And it can be things like knowing that we had a podcast about this, like don't be the paper sticking to the ass cheeks. The like on your tables, we have table warmers and we have cushy like sheepskin stuff. It's comfortable. We have real sheets. There's no going to be no paper sticking to your ass when you are in this thing. It's a nice environment. Even those things are going to help you to set yourself apart from your competitors.
And this is, it's one of the reasons we talk so much about vision and values. A lot of people think they have a marketing problem or a conversion problem. They actually have a vision and values problem because they haven't sat down and articulated to themselves how they are better and or different, depending on the language that you guys want to use, than the other insurance-based options around them. And at Pelvic Sanity, like, we have zero problem. Like, my goal is not to convince someone to come to Pelvic Sanity, but my goal is to give them the actual lay of the land, their actual options. And it's not, hey, you can come to this PT place that you have to pay for and this PT place that you don't have to pay for. Which would you rather go to? That's a stupid question, right? The better question is, do you want to pay for extremely high quality care that I feel very confident every single person who works at Pelvic Sanity is in the top 2% of PTs in the country? I feel great. Give me a lie detector test. I will pass that with flying colors. And when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, that's great. Do you want to pay for that level of service? Or would you like to have a much less expensive but mediocre kind of care someplace else? And that's basically what we're talking about. Like, I am fine talking about the differences that we have at Pelvic Sanity, that we do treat every single person for a full hour. It's all hands-on and one-on-one with the physical therapist. It is not with an aide. It's not us watching you exercise, and it's not us using biofeedback. Is that an indictment of people who do that? Not at all. But it is me explaining to the person who's calling that there is a difference. They are making a decision about how they want to be treated when they decide where they want to go. And it is actually disingenuous of me to allow them to think that they are going to be getting the same kind of treatment here as in a facility that I know provides completely different care. Again, whether that's better or worse, that is for them to decide, but I want to give them the actual options so that they are able to make an informed decision. And basically, the question that we're asking is, would you rather come to Pelvic Sanity and get that full hour with someone who specializes only in pelvic health, with somebody who is going to look for the why, with someone who's not going to prescribe you Kegels, with someone who's not going to do biofeedback, with somebody who's not going to put a heat pack on you or an ice pack on you and bill insurance like they're providing physical therapy, with someone who's not going to turn you over to a high school aide and have them watch you do squats while they take another patient back into the room? That's what we're talking about. And I am 100% comfortable having that conversation. And that's one of the things that it takes a while, to your point, Nicole, to get that comfortable with that. But I literally just had this conversation with a patient right before we got on this. Nicole was getting mad at me because I wasn't ready because I had to talk to this patient. But I was going through and she called and she said she had a diastasis and she'd really rather use her insurance. And I said, hey, that's great. I totally understand. Let me help you out and give you kind of the lay of the land. But how long has that diastasis been going on for? Oh, well, my son's 7 years old. It's like, oh man, that sucks. Have you had any like low back pain or hip stuff going on? Oh my God, yes. I can barely do chores around the house. My hip is so bad. And I haven't been able to do any kind of exercise or anything else in several years. And it just seems to get worse and worse. Now it's going up into my shoulder. I think that might be related. Like, okay, cool. Let's talk. Like, it really sounds like you've got a lot of stuff going on and we're going to be able to work with you one-on-one, all with the physical therapist, looking at all that stuff. We literally just last night had somebody come in to talk to us about how to treat the thoracic spine. This is going to be great. Like, we're one of the very few places who are going to be super comfortable looking at your pelvic floor, but also looking at your diastasis, your low back, your hip, and all the way up into that shoulder. And you could totally, if you need to use your insurance, I totally understand. But the local places here, if you go to an ortho place, they're not going to want to touch you basically below your belly button. And if you go to a pelvic floor place that's not here, they're going to probably not look a ton outside of the pelvic floor. They just don't have time. They're working with you for 30 minutes. And so the real difference for you here at Pelvic Sanity is we're going to spend that full hour with you, and we're going to look at all of those different things and figure out what's driving that, and not just alleviate your symptoms, but find the underlying why so that we get them better and they don't come back. But if you want to use your insurance, that's great. Go over there.
Sign me up.
Right? And that is how you, quote unquote, convince somebody. And it's not convincing them. It honestly is just giving them the information. And I always think about this when I train our front desk, when I help train the front desk of our Pelvic PT Rising mentorship people. I want to get back to, like, we're not selling to people. And I know there's a lot of bad connotations with that word and sleaziness and all of that stuff. And to me, it's not selling. It is the same conversation I would want somebody to have with my mother, my sister, my best friend. Like, I would want somebody to take the time and walk them through their different options. And honestly, there are people, and as a cash practice, we know who are not going to be coming in and who either can't afford it, who really are ingrained in that insurance mindset, who have Medicare, who are not the right fit for our clinic. And I want them, I genuinely want them to get to the right place for them. I don't want them coming in if this is not the right experience for them. But I also don't want people going away thinking that they're going to get the same experience no matter where they go in pelvic PT, because we all know that that's not true. And so my goal is just to give them the information and let them make a truly informed decision. But if I don't provide all that information, if I let those misconceptions that everywhere they go is going to be exactly the same, if I let that misperception continue, then they're not going to be able to get to an informed actual decision and make the decision that they want to.
And then the other thing that that really provides with that amount of conviction that Jesse was just having on the phone, that really is the energy that he has on the phone with people, because we're excited to share that with people. We're excited to help them out. And if they choose to not go to us, then guess what? We've also now set them up to be able to evaluate whether or not they are getting care that does help their symptoms. Now they know that there is different care. They have now, you've set yourself up as telling them about the experience that they're going to have at your place. If even if they don't choose to come to you at that point, which a lot of times once you do that, remember, it's not about the money. Most of the time, if somebody is already looking into a cash practice, they're already saying like, hey, I'm kind of willing to go. I just don't know if I feel like it's valuable enough. We can get into that in a different podcast. But at the point where they are going to choose to go somewhere else, we do need to make sure that they know exactly the experience that they're going to have at our clinic so that they have something to compare to. So then if they go down to the in-network place down the road and they are in supine with a biofeedback machine, when you want to get back to running with a diastasis and the PT isn't even looking at the back, because I can't do that because we don't have a prescription for that and all this other bullshit, she's going to know that if she were to come back to Pelvic Sanity, if she were to send another friend, she knows that now there's two different experiences and the experience that she is having is not what she would have gotten at Pelvic Sanity. Now, that is to say, if her symptoms are better, cool. There's more than one way to get people's symptoms resolved. But if those symptoms come back, what we've also noticed and now primed her for is to understand that there is a difference in care. And if you go to some place and your symptoms don't get better or they come back, now we still have primed them for like, huh, that guy on that phone said that we could find the underlying reason. Do I really feel like I got to that underlying why? We've had so many people initially think that even after all of the quote-unquote convincing or providing the informed decision information, we've had so many people actually choose, still think that they want that insurance-based care. Great, cool, here we go. Here's the best place to do that. And then call us freaking back. And because, right? Because we know what goes on at those places. You're limited. You're limited. They're limited in skill. They're limited in mentorship and they're limited in the amount of time because of the insurance constraints, period. That's it. And so we're giving patients the opportunity to understand that there are two different options and that just because you don't choose to come to us now doesn't mean you can't choose to come to us at a different time also.
Yes. And so thank you so much for asking this question. This is a fantastic one. I love when we get questions from you guys. But this gets to the fundamental question of running a cash-based physical therapy clinic, because I think if everybody was confident that they could do this, this would be the direction that most people would choose because of all of the other benefits of being a cash-based provider. And I just want to give you guys who, if you're thinking about this, if you are in the early stages of running a business, like, you can definitely do this. We have had people in our mentorship group do this in wealthy areas. You can have people do this in extremely not wealthy areas, inner cities, in super rural areas, in small towns, in places where there is a ton of competition. Here at Pelvic Sanity, we have probably 35 pelvic PTs within a 15-mile radius. Like, I can't throw a rock without hitting a pelvic PT, and they tell me to stop throwing rocks around here, so maybe I should. But honestly, like, whatever the situation is, like, there is room for you to run a very successful practice if you are able to do these two things. And these two things are, it's like the simplest two-step process you can imagine, and it is also, like, so, so complex, right? You need to provide better care, and you need to communicate that you are providing that care. And that's it. It's as simple as that, and it is that complex because the devil's in the details when it comes to all of that stuff. And you've got to get clear on your vision and values. You've got to get clear on how your clinical and your business ethos come together. You've got to get clear on how you actually communicate that in a way that is confident and effective and honest and true to who you are. And these are the challenges of starting and running a cash-based practice. It is so much fun when you get going, but I know how scary it is when you're answering the phone those first couple of times and somebody just asks you, gosh, if I hear somebody ask one more time, do you take my insurance? I'm going to strangle myself with this cord on the phone.
You know what else I will just say too, is that I feel like this has been an issue, an underlying issue for just about everybody that we worked with. And I think that, so number one, I mean, just know that you're not alone in that. Number two, I really feel like it's interesting to see the difference, and it's a subtle difference between being able to articulate why you started your practice. I was really frustrated with all of the negative things, but making it very uncomfortable for you to flip that into, I provide this great, better care. And so, you know, I really feel like that is where people, like, whenever we say, like, okay, what makes you different? They're like, well, I was so frustrated with the fact that I had, you know, only 30 minutes with the patient, and they say it's 30, but it's really like 23, right? Because that's what you have to bill for that stupid 8-minute rule and blah, 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 blah. So it's like, but what are you going to provide differently now? And how is you opening your practice better than before? And then everyone gets all uncomfortable with saying that, like, yeah, 60 minutes of care is better than 25 minutes of care. It's like, well, my friend still works over there, and I don't think she's a bad therapist. It's like, no, she's not a bad therapist, but is 60 minutes better than 25 for a complex pelvic floor issue? Yes. So you have to get comfortable saying that in that affirmative way and saying that I provide that, and I'm proud that I provide that. And then you're not convincing people at all. You're just stating facts.
That's it, guys. So I hope that's been helpful. There's so much more. I feel like we could talk on this for like hours and hours. But there's so much more to this conversion piece. But that's it. That's it right there, is that melding of clinical and business, providing better care, and then communicating how you do that. And so if you guys have questions about that, let us know. We are also, as you guys may be or may not be aware, opening up some new spots for a whole new cohort in the Pelvic PT Rising Business Mentorship Program coming up here soon. So if this is something that you're struggling with, if you're concerned about this, if you have been in business for a long time and are just needing some help getting to that next level, let us know. You can fill out our entrepreneur survey at www.pelvicptrising.com/business. And somebody will be back in touch with you. We can set up either see if we have good resources for you, set up a quick call. I just love talking business with everybody. And I just want you guys to be super successful with these. And this is one of the real sticking points for almost all of us in our business, no matter how long we've been doing it, is making sure we're able to do this. So As always, guys, if you have questions, let us know. We are so grateful for all of you guys listening out there. We love hearing these questions, so keep them coming. As always, we want to keep this conversation going.
And let's continue to rise.